أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد جاءكم رسول من أنفسكم عزيز عليه ما عنتم حريص عليكم بالمؤمنين رؤوف رحيم فإن تولوا فقل حسبي الله لا إله إلا هو عليه توكلت وهو رب العرش العظيم صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. In recent days and weeks, in various gatherings, we have discussed various aspects relating to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's rights over us, our obligations towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What I want to mention in this brief majlis today is an important link. It's not possible for us to get access to anything relating to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without this link. It's very important for the Muslim of today to understand this whole backdrop, this whole context in the way that Islam reached us today. It's not a case that, it is not the case that we wake up in the house one morning and suddenly, without any context, without any history reaching back centuries, suddenly the Mus'haf is in our house, there's a book of hadith in our house, there's a book of fiqh in our house. It doesn't work like that. And although people don't say that, sometimes people, because of a lack of understanding, behave like that. The idea is that I can just pull this off the shelf and it's all ready and I can just open it. I can delve into it, the Quran, a book of hadith, some fiqh rulings, or I can go online and I can delve into what's online. So what is the context? What is this link we're referring to? So now let us look at this. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent kafatal linnasi, for all people, regardless of their geography, whether they are from the east or the west, the north or the south, Africa, America, Asia, Australasia, the Arab world, the Middle East, Europe. There's no geographical separation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's message is for all. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote, he wrote to the emperors and the dynasties of the time, the kings of the time, in Europe, there was the Persian Empire, there was the Byzantine Empire, there were the various kings, Negus, Najashi. The Prophet wrote in different directions, and the Prophet's correspondence, which he dictated, has been compiled not into a booklet but into many volumes. It's actually extensive. It's more extensive than we realize. So the Prophet's message was for everybody, and it wasn't for a set period of time either. It was meant and is meant for us today until the day of Qiyamah. And yet, the Prophet ﷺ is the final messenger. So how was this meant to happen? Well, the way it was meant to happen and the way it did happen is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established the system of khulafa. We're speaking here about the khulafa Rashidin. And of ulama, who would rightly represent the cause of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so, what you have in the Khulafa Rashideen is that comprehensiveness where they represent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in every aspect, in the sense that they are masters of all the different sciences and they implement it in the place of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then you have others from the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tab'ut Tabi'in and the subsequent generations were specialists, and they specialize in different areas. So you have those who are known for the tafsir of the Quran, and those who are known for the hadith, and those who are known for the fiqh, and those who are known for the spiritual aspects, and those who are known for the tajweed, and the recitation of the Quran, and so on and so forth. So the Prophet ﷺ educated an entire generation. He produced an ummah bi-idhnillah, with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he left them behind. The estimations of the numbers in Hajjatul Wada' vary, but they go beyond 100,000. It was a very large number. Incidentally, it's one of the mu'jizas and miracles. Anas bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala, who says that my tent was at the edge of the camp, but I heard clearly the farewell sermon, the Khutbatul Wada'. So everybody heard this. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam produced a whole generation, the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, and there were ulama from amongst the Sahaba. The ayah of the Quran was revealed that everybody should not go out when there's an exhibition altogether, liyanfiru kaffa, and there should be a group, liyatafaqahu fi al-din wa yundiru qawmahum idha raja'u ilayhim la'allahum yahdharun, who should remain behind and dwell upon the details of deen, liyatafaqahu fi al-din, delve into its depths, and so that they can draw out the rulings and warn people when they return. This verse was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and a body of jurists was formed from the Sahaba in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Senior Sahaba would give fatwas, and of course Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasallam was there to overlook this, and so that anyone could be corrected. But this happened then. So there was a hierarchy amongst the Sahaba, and the senior Sahaba would teach and advise and give fatwa, and the junior Sahaba would ask. It's even happened that some Sahaba have consulted Tabi'un, because some Tabi'un who have actually excelled in knowledge, not in status and rank, the predecessors, the forerunners are the Sahaba. But some Tabi'un devoted their lives such to other senior Sahaba that they accumulated knowledge which certain Sahaba may not have been able to accumulate, because the Sahaba may have had opportunities to sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but the Tabi'un who travelled and gathered knowledge from different Sahaba were able to collate a hadith which individual Sahaba had not heard as individuals. So there are nuances here, and there's detail. And then in the early generations of the Sahaba and Tabi'un, this knowledge was collated and recorded and written and poured over and revised and taught and memorized, and schools were established, halqas of knowledge were established. Makkah was a center of knowledge, Medina was a center of knowledge, and Basra was a center of knowledge, Kufa was a center of knowledge, Sham had its centers of knowledge, and subsequently the Sahaba and then the Tabi'un, Tabu'ut Tabi'un, traveled to various parts of the world, and they all became established in their own way as centers of knowledge. So it passed through people, and this is the missing link. The idea that I can become close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without these links is a misunderstanding. It's not the sunnah of Allah. And this is why, even in this ummah, when we talk about the straight path, we ask Suratul Fatiha, tell us what the straight path is. Suratul Fatiha, one of its names is Ta'limul Mas'ala, the surah which teaches us how to ask Allah. And what is the ask? What is the question? The dua, the supplication is dua for hidayah and guidance. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. O Allah, guide us along the straight path. And the Quran, in its unique way, al-Quranu yufassiru ba'duhu ba'da, it explains itself. It's its own exegesis. So we ask, what is the straight path? The next verse explains, sirat al-ladhina anamta alayhim. What is it not? Ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wal-dhalim. It's the path of those whom Allah favored. We ask the Quran, tell us whom Allah favored. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصَّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Four categories. Anbiya, Siddiqeen, Shuhada, Salihin. So, the people of the straight path are not just the Anbiya, they are the Siddiqeen, Shuhada and Salihin, who continue to exist and will continue to exist in this Ummah till the day of Qiyamah after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to follow them according to the Qur'an itself is to walk on the straight path. So this is the point. The idea that I can single-handedly jump and ignore, sidestep the Sahaba, the Tabi'un, the Tab'ut Tabi'een, and the subsequent generations of Salafus Salihin up to the present day, and directly take Hidayah from Rasulullah. That's not the way it was meant to happen, and that's not the way it does happen. We have to take knowledge from the generations before us, who took it from the generations before us, and from the mainstream of the Ummah, to stay with As-Sawadul A'zam, the general majority, and any splinter groups that diverge right or left in terms of belief and actions, either by innovation or heresy, misinterpretation, we don't acknowledge that. But we take the main body, and each subsequent generation, what it does, it reinforces the previous generation. So this orthodoxy then is not a problem. It is authenticity. And just as when it comes to science and technology, we look forwards. And the present generation makes discoveries and is making discoveries that the previous generation didn't make. And corrections are being made, rectifications. So the further forwards you go, the more you increase in knowledge when it comes to the sciences relating to this world, as we refer to them, the secular sciences, or science as a subject, knowledge of this world, knowledge of material things. But when it comes to deen, it's the opposite. The fountainhead of knowledge is Sayyidul Awwaleen wal Akhirin, Imamul Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, who was given the knowledge of the Awwaleen and Akhirin. It's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so for deeni knowledge, we don't look forward, we look backwards for enlightenment. And the closer we are to the sunnah, the closer we are to hidayah. If we're on the sunnah, ma ana alayhi wa ashabi, that upon which I, Muhammad, am on, and that which the sahaba are on. That is the correct path. It's not something else. It's not something besides. And there'll be a constant effort to move away from the sunnah. And there'll be a constant swing back to the sunnah by those who are on haqq. So in every generation, you'll have splinter groups. And this is not something which should worry us, in the sense that deen cannot be lost. There were people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the likes of Musaylama al-Kadhdhab, and subsequently Aswad Anasi and others, who thought, this is a good idea, I could be a prophet as well. And so they proclaimed prophethood, they claimed to be prophets, but of course they were fake, false people. They were imposters. They were not prophets. They hadn't received revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Ummah recognized this. They had their bunch of followers, their noise, their names were taken for a generation of a handful of people by a handful of people, and then it subsided. They were also thrown onto the rubbish heap of history, where nobody is interested in their history anymore. Nobody studies them, no one remembers them, no one goes to visit their graves, nobody talks about their fiqh of their sharia, or any books revealed to them. There were no books revealed to them. So this is a constant cycle in history. But in every generation, there are also those who are devoted to the actual message which was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, the actual sunnah. And this is the point we have to understand. So if in our recent sessions and majalis and halqas, we have understood that we owe something to Allah, to His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has rights over us, and we want to get close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then we also have to understand the proper way of doing this. And the proper way is to hold on to the mainstream of the Ummah, As-Sawadul A'zam, and to seek knowledge in the proper way, as is the custom. The Sahaba sat before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with adab and respect, and they took knowledge from that radiant source of light and guidance, that sun of guidance. And then the Sahaba, the stars of guidance, the Tabi'un, took light from them and guidance and knowledge. And then the subsequent generations of the Tab'ut Tabi'een and the Salaf As-Salihin, they continued to do the same thing. And we need to continue to do the same thing, to take guidance and knowledge and hidayah from the previous generations, heart to heart, and to understand it properly. And for those who walk this path, it's very evident. You sometimes learn more from the silences of your teachers than you learn from their speeches. Because it's about being in the company. The proper way of being and carrying yourself, these etiquettes and adab cannot be understood from books. They can only be understood when we are in that company. And this is an important aspect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq to appreciate this. So then, to embody the sunnah then, what's the crux, what is the, in the nutshell, what are we saying? To embody the sunnah, to appreciate the sunnah and seerah and deen, which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us, what do we need to do? We need to sit with the knowledgeable and pious people of our generation and study it in a proper way. Only then will we gain the barakah and the nur of this. Otherwise, if we simply rely on YouTube videos or on books alone and we don't sit in the appropriate company, we can easily misconstrue, misunderstand the proper meanings and we can draw conclusions which are actually contrary to the truth. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us rightly guided always. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين صلى الله على النبي الكريم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى وصحبه أجمعين. رحمتك يا رحمة الله.